It's good for us to be here tonight as we peer into God's Word one more time, and the privilege we have in hearing what God has to say and make an application to our lives, that our spirituality may be strengthened, that our inner man may be bolstered to do more for the Lord. Tonight, I want us to study on the subject, why should we listen to Jesus? When we consider listening to Jesus, it's necessary for us to understand that there are great benefits to listening to the Lord. There are many in our world today who are not listening to Jesus for whatever reason. But we know for a fact that the Bible clearly teaches us that when we listen to the Lord, it is for our benefit, for life and godliness. We know that Jesus Christ can be validated and is validated by at least two witnesses. When we consider passages like what Jesus told the Pharisees in John chapter 8, verse 17 and 18, there he says, it is written in your law that the testimony of two men is true. We know for a fact that during this particular time that when two men said something, it was true. At least it was supposed to be. Jesus is quoting here from Deuteronomy chapter 17 and verse 6 and also Deuteronomy chapter 19 and verse number 15. It's interesting in those two passages, two separate passages, in Deuteronomy chapter 17 and verse number 6, a person could die because of the witness of two men. But in Deuteronomy chapter 19 and verse number 15, there we see that two witnesses were needed in order for every word to be established. Jesus is saying that I have at least two witnesses that establish or validate who I am, being the Son of God. But we know for a fact that the Bible itself has more to say than just that. Jesus said, the Father validates me and I validate myself. When we consider Jesus being truth, we know the passage, John 14 and verse 6, but also in 1 John 5 and verse number 20 and 21, God himself is truth. They cannot lie. If those were the only validations that we had, that would be enough. Because Jesus and the Father cannot lie because they're God. However, I want you to turn your Bibles, and we're going to be all through our Bibles on tonight. In John chapter 5, verses 36 and 39, we see something that's very interesting for our consideration. We understand that Jesus did not accept the testimony of man. We see that in John chapter 5 and verse 34. However, Jesus was telling these religious leaders in John chapter 5 and verse number 36 that if you're going to believe anything, believe me for my work's sake. Believe me because of the miracles. The miracles in which Jesus did validated, bore witness to who he was, came forth from God. But also, Jesus said in verse number 39 of John chapter 5, search the scriptures, for in them you think you have eternal life, but they are they that testify of me. Already, we see four witnesses. Already enough evidence in a court of law during the time in which Jesus was living to validate that this man was true and we ought to listen to what he has to say. If we had no other validation, that would be enough. God the Father, Jesus himself, his very works say, and also the scriptures. Isn't it beautiful that when we see that, that would be enough. But even in the world in which we live in today, that is not enough for many. However, there's more evidence that we want to look at, because after this particular lesson, I want us to dispel all doubt in whom we ought to be listening to. I want you to turn your Bibles to Deuteronomy chapter 18 and verse number 15. And as you're turning there, I want us to take into consideration this very thought. Jesus brings up Abraham to the religious leaders of his particular time, and he says that Abraham desired to see my day, and when he saw it, he was glad. Abraham, a patriarch, the one in whom all nations of the earth will be blessed. But here we see in Deuteronomy chapter 18, turn your Bibles there. Don't look at me. I know I'm good looking, but look at your Bible. We need to be looking at our Bibles because this is where the evidence is. In Deuteronomy chapter 18, in verse number 15, we see something very powerful that Moses himself said. He said, "The Lord your God will raise up for you a prophet like unto me from your midst." But notice what he says. He's going to be coming from your brethren. And notice the implication of hearing his instructions. Hear ye him. Listen to him. Now, Moses said this, friends. If anything, we can bear witness that Moses, the great lawgiver, we're not even talking about Elijah, the great prophet, but Moses, the great lawgiver, said a long time ago by inspiration of the Holy Spirit, being a prophet, saying that there is a prophet that's going to come from your midst. You need to listen to him. We understand in Acts chapter 3, turn your Bibles there. In Acts chapter 3, verse 22 and 23, Peter quotes this very passage. And friends, this is a very important passage. Because in this passage, here we understand that the gospel was going to start in Jerusalem. It was going to go to Judea, and this is where we are in Acts chapter 3, and then Samaria, and then the uttermost parts of the world. But right here, we're in Judea, and notice what Peter quotes after the healing of the lame man. He quotes Moses. He tells those individuals, friends, that you need to be listening to Jesus. Notice what Moses has to say and start in verse number 22. "For Moses truly said to the fathers, the Lord your God will raise up a prophet like unto me from your brethren. Him you shall hear in all things whatsoever he says unto you. And it shall be that every soul who will not hear that prophet shall be utterly destroyed from among the people." Now, Moses said this. It's interesting that people even try to listen to Moses today. They try to keep the Ten Commandment laws. They say that we're under the Ten Commandment laws. We're supposed to keep the law. But Moses said, listen to Jesus. He says, listen to that prophet that was going to come out from among you, come from your brethren. If you listen to him, you'll live. But if you don't listen to him, you will be utterly destroyed. Turn to Acts chapter 7. Here we see that this is also quoted by Stephen as he is talking to the religious leaders of his day, Brother Braswell. We see that he's about to be stoned by these individuals. He's talking to these religious leaders, and he tells them in verses 37 through verse number 43. Notice what your Bible there has to say. "This is that Moses who said to the children of Israel, the Lord your God will raise up for you a prophet like me from your brethren. Him you shall hear. This is he who was in the congregation in the wilderness with the angel who spoke to him on Mount Sinai, and with our fathers, the one who received the living oracles to give to us, whom our fathers would not obey but rejected. And in their hearts they turned back to Egypt, saying to Aaron, make us gods to go before us. As for this Moses who brought us out of the land of Egypt, we don't know what has become of him. And they made a calf in those days, offered sacrifices to idols, and rejoiced in the works of their own hands. Then God turned and gave them up to worship the host of heaven, as it is written in the book of the prophets." Now notice, Moses himself said, don't listen to me, listen to that prophet. You know, if we was to just take these passages, and we're not through with the evidence yet, why should we listen to Jesus? Number one, Abraham said so. Number two, Moses said so. If we was to talk to some of our religious friends, even some of our family members, whether members of the Lord's church who are leaning that way, or those who are in the denominational realm who say that we're still listening to Moses, we still keep the Ten Commandment laws, even Moses say, listen to that prophet. Listen to Jesus. Listen to the one that was going to come out from among you. Paul said by inspiration in Galatians 5 and verse number 4, you're estranged from Christ, those who try to keep the law. I don't understand why people want to keep something that was nailed to the cross. Jesus was the one that they were supposed to be listening to. And because of that, friends, we're to listen to him even today. John chapter 12, verses 48 through 50. Jesus speaks to us through his law. He says, he that rejected me and receiveth not my word hath one to judge him. The words that I have spoken, the same shall judge him in the last day. But notice what Jesus says. I have not spoken of my own authority, but the Father who gave me what to say and what to speak. Friends, we're to listen to Jesus in every aspect of life. Now turn your Bibles to Matthew chapter 17. Of course, I need to bring in this passage. In Matthew chapter 17, we find Peter, James, and John, and they're on the mountain of transfiguration with Jesus Christ. And it's interesting when Peter chimes out and he says certain things. Let's build here three tabernacles, one for you, one for Moses, and one for Elijah. While he was still speaking, friends, there was a voice that came from heaven saying, this is my beloved son in whom I'm well pleased. Listen to him. Even the Father says it. Hold on. We have evidence that Abraham desired to see that day and saw it and was glad. We see Moses saying, don't listen to me. Listen to that prophet. Here we find God who's saying, it's not about Moses. It's not about Elijah. It's about Jesus. But friends, there was nothing wrong with that law as it relates to the holiness of it, the goodness of it. Romans 7, verse number 12, it was holy, it was good. But it could not bring salvation. It wasn't given to no one past the cross. In Deuteronomy chapter 5, the first three verses, go and you read those passages. But Moses tells the second generation of the children of Israel something very important. He said it wasn't given to our forefathers. It was given to us on the mount. Friends, when we consider that, that law was given to a particular people for a special purpose, for a special person to come. That's God. It wasn't given to no one. It's amazing how people try to keep that law today. But when you consider Galatians 3 and verse number 24, friends, it was a schoolmaster to bring us to Christ. Till faith comes, verse number 25. Friends, it's obvious that that law had a purpose. But I want us to take notice of Hebrews chapter 8. In Hebrews chapter 8, y'all stay with me because we're going to make application here in the end. The law that God gave on Mount Sinai had faults. Didn't say it was unholy. Didn't say it wasn't good, but it had faults. And we know that it had faults because the Hebrews writer even says himself. Notice in verse number 7, for if that first covenant, that's the Old Testament, that's the law of Moses, if you will, had been faultless, then no place would have been sought for a second. So we know for a fact that it was something wrong with this particular law. Don't have time to go into all of the logistics, but when we consider this law, when it was given in Exodus chapter 20 through Exodus 24, here's a very interesting point. According to Hebrews 8 and verse number 13 and Jeremiah 31 through 34, the very time in which God was giving Moses the law to give it to the people of God, when he sprinkled the blood upon it, it was already fading away. And then here comes Jesus in Matthew 25 and 24 and verse 35. I'm sorry. Matthew 24 and verse 35. He said, heaven and earth shall pass away, but my words will not pass away. That's an interesting point. Here, the law was given to the children of Israel, and when it was sprinkled by the blood, and the people were sprinkled by the blood, it was fading away immediately. And here comes Jesus on the scene, and he says, my word will never pass away, even though heaven and earth are going to pass away. You know what that means, friends? That even when we get to glory, little Mike, God's word will be there. It will never pass away. That law had a purpose, and that was to bring us to Christ. So Moses says, listen to Jesus. Look at Acts chapter 2. Go to Acts chapter 2, verses 29 through 35. And as you're going there, I'm going to quote Psalm 110. In Psalm 110, verse number 1, David says something very powerful. He said, "The Lord said to my Lord, sit on my right hand till I make thy foes thy footstool." It's interesting that David says this being a king. Why is this important that for us to know? Because, friends, people go to Moses for their religious authority, and people also go to David for their religious authority. Here, we're going to debunk both of them, and it's not going to be because we don't like Moses. It's not going to be because we're trying to talk evil of David. But we're going to use their own words because it was about what they had to say. In Acts chapter 2, starting at verse number 29 through verse number 35, notice what your Bible here has to say. And this is important also when we're talking to our religious friends, especially when we get to the last point of this particular point. Notice what he says, starting in verse number 29. "Men and brethren, let me freely speak unto you of the patriarch David, that he is both dead, buried, and his tomb is with us to this day. Therefore, being a prophet," that's important, David was a prophet, "and knowing that God has sworn with an oath to him that the fruit of his loins according to the flesh," notice what he was going to do. He was going to raise up the Christ to sit on what? His throne. Whose throne? David's throne. Hold on. They listened to David. David had authority. When we consider David, they listened to David in everything. As a matter of fact, if you said something against David, you probably would have lost your life. You couldn't have done anything that you want to do. You see how people talk about presidents of the United States today? It doesn't matter what president it was. You talk evil of King David, you probably would have lost your life back then. And every word that David spoke as it relates to being inspired by the Spirit, people had to do that. So David was a prophet in verse number 30. Christ was going to be sitting on his throne in verse number 30. But notice verse number 34 and 35. This is very important. Notice what the Bible there says. "For David did not ascend into the heavens, but he said himself." I think it's time for us to call people to the carpet when it comes to listening to Moses and listening to David for religious authority. "For they said themselves," notice the quote from Psalm 110 and verse number 1 in Psalm 68 verse 18, "The Lord said to my Lord, sit at my right hand till I make thy enemies thy footstool. Therefore, let all the house of Israel know assuredly that God had made that same Jesus whom you crucified both Lord and Christ." Why is this important? This is important because we know for a fact that David himself was telling them, you need to listen to the one that's sitting on the throne. Who's sitting on the throne, Peter? Jesus is. He is the one that was put on the throne by his Father, and he's the one that you need to listen to, and he's the one that you're going to have forgiveness of sins by. He's the one that we need to do everything according to. Now, I want to take a quick break real quick and look at Matthew 22. Matthew chapter 22, verses 41 through 46. I know many people always quote Philippians chapter 1 and verse number 16, and depending on your translation, verse 17, "I'm set for the defense of the gospel." But it's interesting, Brother Braswell, that Jesus takes the offensive here. He has the ball in his hand. The center has the ball. They give it to the quarterback, and the quarterback is trying to make something happen. That's Jesus right here. Notice what happens in verse number 41 through verse number 46. Notice what your Bible says. "While the Pharisees were gathered together, Jesus asked them, saying," it doesn't sound like they approached him. He's approaching them. He wanted them to know, hey, you know what? I'm about to teach you something right here. Notice what he's about to teach them. "Saying, what do you think about the Christ? Whose son is he?" Notice their answer. They said to him, "Son of David." He said to them, "How then does David in the Spirit," go ahead and put in your Bible or in your notes, 1 Corinthians 12, verse number 3, "no one can call the Jesus Lord except through the Spirit. The Lord said to my Lord, sit at my right hand till I make thy enemies thy footstool. If David then calls him Lord, how is he his son? And no one was able to answer him a word, nor from that day on any did anyone dare to ask him a question. Jesus shut them up. And you know what, friends? Sometimes we have to take the offensive. I don't know why church members want to be so defensive all the time. We're always on the defensive side of the ball. Hold on. When someone scores a touchdown, the other team wants the ball so they can go down and score against them, oh sorry Cowboys. Figure that'll wake y'all up. Is it right? Every now and then we ought to be on the offensive. We ought to take the fight to them. This is what Jesus did. And if we're going to be followers of Christ, sometimes you have to take the fight to people. Just ask them some good questions. Therefore, the last person that any person or religious group should go to for authority is David or Moses, for he's dead. Put in your Bibles or your notes 2 Samuel chapter 7, verses 12 through 14, and Psalm 68, verse 18 again. Now, I want to make a point. The very first act that Jesus did, sitting on David's throne, he pardoned 3,000 souls from sin. Well, tell me, that's no power. That man had great power. Powerful, friends. That's who we serve. That's the one that we submit to. He's the one that has all authority. And why should we listen to him? Number one, Abraham. Number two, Moses. Number three, God. Number four, even David says, we ought to listen to Jesus. You know, if people were to listen to Jesus today, they might have their sins washed away. But they want to go to Moses. They want to go to David. Let me go ahead and make another point since I'm right here. David, the Bible teaches us, is dead, he's buried, and his grave is still with us. That's what Peter said. It's interesting that people want to go to Psalm 150 in order to have authority for instruments of music and worship. Hold on. David is dead. David said, listen to Jesus. Jesus nowhere practiced, nor promoted, nor commanded instruments of music to be offered in worship to God. Powerful argument. Since David is dead, and since David said, listen to Jesus, Jesus didn't say anything about it. Jesus didn't practice it. He didn't promote it. Therefore, we leave it alone. And if the Bible doesn't teach it, if the Bible doesn't practice it, then we ought to leave it alone too. Powerful arguments that God has blessed us to see in the scriptures if we just go back and we look at them. So why should we listen to Jesus? Because the prophets say so as well. This whole lesson is designed to dispel all doubt. And really, that's our problem sometimes. When we're talking to our friends and our family members, and they bring up things maybe we haven't considered before, we begin doubting the position of the Bible. But there's no need for us to doubt the position of the Bible. We're to listen to Jesus Christ. In Isaiah chapter 7, verse number 14, it was prophesied that Jesus would come to the world through a virgin. It was fulfilled in Matthew chapter 1, 22 and 23. We need to listen to Jesus. Turn your Bibles to Luke chapter 2. I want to show you something in verse number 13 through 15. And I thought this was pretty interesting. I thought this was a great verse. And because Jesus came down in a virgin, and because we see that salvation has finally been brought down to man, we sing that song, salvation has been brought down. Notice the response or the reaction in verses 13 through 15 that I believe is worthy of our consideration that was done by the angels themselves. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host praising God and saying, glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. So it was when the angels had gone away from them into heaven that the shepherds said to one another, let us go to Bethlehem and see the things that has come to pass, which the Lord hath made known to us. Notice the praise that took place by the angels because salvation has been brought down to mankind. He was born of a virgin, and now this was going to be the one that was going to take away the sins of the world, and therefore we have something to rejoice about. I wonder sometimes how much rejoicing we do. Sometimes we see more rejoicing in a carnal movie than God's holy word. Sometimes we see more rejoicing when people are on television committing all lewd acts, acts that put our Savior on the cross, than our Lord coming down, saving our sins, saving our souls from sin. Salvation has definitely been brought down. In Isaiah chapter 9, verse 6 and 7, notice this five-star Savior. You know, we like to stay in five-star hotels and eat at five-star restaurants. But here we see a five-star Savior. The Bible teaches us that he's wonderful, Counselor, Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, and the Prince of Peace. He's a five-star Savior. And first, when we consider this great man of God, it was prophesied that he was going to be born of a virgin. It was prophesied that he was going to be these things, and he was. But then turn your Bibles to Isaiah 53. And friends, I need you to pay attention right here. Not to say that you haven't been paying attention before, but pay attention right here. Here we see the suffering servant. Why should we listen to Jesus? Not just because Abraham rejoiced when he saw his day. Not just because Moses said listen to him. Not just because God said listen to him. Not just because David said listen to him. But because of what he did for us too. I don't know a man on the face of the earth that could have taken a beating like our Lord did. The more I was studying this, the more I was telling my Father in heaven, I'm going to listen to you more. I'm going to believe your word. I'm not going to doubt what you have to say. Verse 10 through verse number 12. Notice Isaiah 53. Thank you, brother. I'm glad you said that, because if I'm not clear, Isaiah 53, starting at verse 10 through 12. Notice five things we see, beautiful blessings that are in the text. Why should we listen to Jesus? Number one, in verse number 10, his soul was made an offering for sin. I'm reminded of what the Bible says in Hebrews chapter 10, verse 5 and verse 10, that his body was an offering for sin. You know what that teaches us, Brother Popejoy? Not only was his soul, but his body was fully committed to our salvation. Isn't it interesting, Romans 12, 1 and 2? Shouldn't we offer our bodies and shouldn't we offer our souls fully to the service of God? Since Jesus gave all, shouldn't we give all? Old saying, coach used to say all the time, leave it on the field. Jesus left it on the cross. Friends, we have to make up our mind that we're going to give it all. Not 98%, not 99.9%, but give 100% to our God. And if we make a mistake giving 100%, then when it's time to get it right, we'll tell our Father in heaven, I'm sorry, I messed up. Please forgive me. Confess that fault and keep on walking with God. But notice in verse number 10, again, verse number 11, I'm sorry, he would justify many. You see that at the end of the verse? He shall see the labor of his soul and be satisfied. By his knowledge, my righteous servant, notice, shall justify many. Put in your Bibles, Romans 5, verses 8 through 10 right there. Also in verse number 11, for he shall bear their iniquities. Three things we see already. He offered his soul for sin. He's going to justify many. He's going to bear their iniquity. Friends, let's not skate past this word iniquity. This word iniquity, and I believe all of us can identify with it in some type of way. It's evil plotting. Friends, this is not just a missing of the mark. That's here in verse number 12. He bore the sin of many. That's just wandering away. Now, right here, the evil plottings of man, he says, I'm going to forgive that too. And friends, we live in a world today where people are plotting evil against God's people. We need to take the gospel message to them and say, God sent his son to die for that mentality. But we got to look at us first. Number four, and he bore the sins. Literally, he bore the wandering off of many. Some people just kind of wander away from God. They're not necessarily going out there plotting evil against people, but they're just kind of just wandering off. They're not paying attention to the commandments of God. They're not paying attention to the precepts of God. They're not paying attention to God at all. They just kind of just wander off. And then when someone check them on it, then they'll come right back, because really they're not trying to wander off, but they wander off. Wandering off and plotting evil are two different things. And God says, I sent my son to take care of both of them. Why should we listen to Jesus? Because he offered his soul and his body for sin. Because he justifies many. Because he bears their evil plotting. Because he bore their wandering off. But he makes intercession for the transgressors. I don't know about you, friends, but I'm thankful that God sent Jesus. For Hebrews 7 verse 25 says he lives to make intercession for us. It's as if Jesus said, this is what my life is all about. Being a go-between between them and you. That's what my life is all about. That's our Lord, friends. That's what he did for us. What a blessing. Why not listen to him? But I got to leave you with this. Because we talked about Abraham and Moses, David and God. We talked about Isaiah the prophet. But I want us to talk about Jeremiah. I want us to talk about Zechariah. I want to bring out the Savior that we need to be listening to in every aspect of our lives, because he is known as the branch. He's the offshoot of God, if you will. He's the one that was going to grow out of God. And I struggled with that terminology, because Jesus is God. But the idea of a branch is when something is coming out of a source. Isaiah 11 verse 1, Jeremiah 23 verse 5, but turn your Bibles to an unfamiliar passage, Zechariah. Zechariah chapter 3. When we consider this great prophet, Zechariah chapter 3 verse 8, and then we'll also turn to chapter 6 verse 12. Zechariah chapter 3 verse 8. Hear, O Joshua, the high priest, you and your companions who sit before you, for they are a wondrous sign. For behold, I am bringing forth my servant, the branch. For behold, the stone that I have laid before Joshua, upon the stone are seven eyes. Behold, I will engrave it with the inscriptions, says the Lord of hosts, and I will remove the iniquity of the land in one day. Go to chapter 6 and look at verse number 12. Then speak to him, saying, thus saith the Lord of hosts, listen to this, saying, behold, the man whose name is the branch, from his place he shall branch out, and he shall build the temple of the Lord. He's talking about Jesus Christ. But what's so good about this branch? Go to chapter 13 and look at verse number 1. It was going to be because of this branch that men and women could go to the fountain. In that day, a fountain shall be opened for the house of David and for the inhabitants of Jerusalem, for sin and for uncleanliness. You go and you continue to read that and you'll see it'll be just because of Jesus and what he did for mankind that we can go to a fountain free just for you and me. We can go to the blood. And everyone who has their sins washed away has to go to the branch. Everyone who has their sins washed away has to go to that fountain which is free. So why should we listen to Jesus? We ought to listen to Jesus because everything about our lives hinges upon him. Listen to these things. Let's listen to Jesus in everything concerning our hearts. Matthew 5 and verse 8. Friends, what's in your heart tonight? Is righteousness in your heart? Is there a hint of sin in your heart? Or Brother Bonner, there's a hint of sin in all of our hearts. Speak for yourself. Because the Bible clearly teaches us that we can walk in the light. Friends, God wants us to listen to Jesus. And every time I listen to myself, every time I listen to a source that doesn't come from God, every time I listen to some type of media that is against God, and if I apply that to my lives, then my heart is not pure. But to listen to Jesus in everything concerning our homes. Matthew 19, 1 through 10, Jesus sets the record straight on marriage and divorce. He sets it straight. He takes it back to the beginning, Genesis 2, 24 and 25. He sets the record straight. Oh, we have people who try to pit Paul against Jesus. 1 Corinthians chapter 7. You can't do that. Jesus has the final say, and Paul was inspired by the Holy Spirit, the same Holy Spirit that Jesus sent, and Paul received direct revelation from Jesus Christ. Friends, you can't pit Paul against Jesus. We have to listen to Jesus and everything concerning our hope of the resurrection. Jesus said in John 11, verse 25, I am the resurrection and the life. We ought to listen to Jesus. I was talking to Evelyn about this passage on the way home today. And I said, it baffles me that a man could have been dead 4 days. God put life back in him. One day God's going to put life back in us. He's going to raise us up. He's going to change our bodies. We're going to have the body just like Jesus has. We'll be able to live with God throughout eternity. But before that, God is able to raise a man up from the death of sin and put life in him through the gospel and blood of Christ. Why should we listen to Jesus? Because of the hope. Why should we listen to Jesus? Because of his influence. Luke chapter 6, verses 43 through 35. We ought to listen to Jesus in everything concerning our devotion to his authority in our lives. Luke 20, 1 through 8. But turn your Bibles to John 21. It's my last passage I'm going to give you. John 21, verses 19 through 22. We ought to listen to Jesus concerning our discipleship. Peter had a problem. His problem was he was more concerned about John than himself. John chapter 21 verses 19 through verse number 22. Then he spoke signifying what death he would glorify God. And when he had spoken this, he said to him, follow me. And Peter turned around and saw the disciple whom Jesus loved following, who also had leaned on his breast at the supper and said, Lord, who is the one who betrays you? Peter seeing him said to Jesus, but Lord, what about this man? Jesus said to him, if I will that he remain till I come, what is that to you? You follow me. You know, I was thinking about this as I close. Why should we listen to Jesus? Because he said so. I remember being as a kid, mom and dad used to say this sometime. You do what I said because I said so. Why should we listen to God? Because he said so. He's the one that has all power. Gave it to his son. Well, I listen to Jesus because everything about him is for our benefit. So when our friends want to listen to Moses and listen to David or listen to some quack, we ought to say, no, why don't we listen to Jesus? Because he has all authority. Have you been listening to Jesus in every aspect of your life? If not, why not? Let's listen to him. Believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God. Repent of your sins, confess Christ to be Lord, be buried in water for the remission of your sins. Maybe a child of God, you haven't been listening to Jesus. Let's stop that. Let's listen to Jesus in every aspect of our lives. At home, on the job, friends and family, enemies, yea, even ourselves. Let's listen to him. And I guarantee you, he will change your life. One old preacher said, if you don't like what Jesus has done to your life, just turn around back, go back to the devil. He'll take you. You don't want that though. Satan wrecks your life. But Jesus always makes your life better, even if you have to go through a little persecution. As we stand and as we sing the Savior's invitation.